Good evening, everyone. Welcome inside the PNC studio at Halas Hall for the 60 minutes of conversation called Bears All Access. We do this every week, and we are joined tonight by the fine folks from Castrol, our live studio audience. Folks from Castrol, the official motor oil of the NFL. You can give yourself some applause, right? Yeah. Thanks for joining us here. I'm Chris Bowden, filling in for Zach Zabin. As we said, an hour of Bears football conversation coming your way. We're joined by the usual co-host here, former 85 Bear. He is an 85 Bear. He's not just a former Bear. He's an 85 Bear and the color analyst on WBBM News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM for your Bears radio broadcast. Tom Thayer, everyone. Nice hand for him.
Thank you.
And we're pleased to be joined tonight in a pinch. Coming on in relief, out of the bullpen, because
we had a
cancellation in the wide receiver room of all. You gotta give your buddy some grief here. But he had a big game on the offensive side of things. Three big first down catches on third down in last Thursday night's victory over the Green Bay Packers. Please welcome Mark Mariani, everybody.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on in a pinch. So when was the last time, if ever, you had a feeling like you did walking off the field six nights ago?
Oh man, that's tough. It was something special for me on Thursday night. I mean, there was a lot of factors, and Thursday night, prime time, Thanksgiving at Lambeau Field, getting a big win. My whole family was there, and it meant a lot to me to be out there and to be able to make some plays to help us win. It was a really, really special night.
But what about the 4 hours before you walked on the field? I was down there when a couple of you guys kind of trickle out of the locker room. And, you know, they still got the tarp going on. You don't know what the field's going to look like. But the rain is relentless.
Yeah.
What was your mindset at that time?
Well, it was the night before. It was Wednesday night, and we looked out, and it was coming down. And we woke up, and it was coming down. And all day after, you know, in between meetings, we looked out the window, and it was coming down. And we were like, damn, this is never ending over here. And I was hoping it would turn into snow, honestly. That would have been my favorite condition. But yeah, when we came down the tunnel and saw the field still tarped, you know, it was kind of a wild card. We didn't know what we were going to get. And once we got out there, I felt like the surface kind of held up.
Right.
And it did pretty well, but definitely the conditions got a little crazy, and it was just part of, you know, playing on the frozen tundra and being at Lambeau Field, and it just kind of fit with the whole evening.
Any new uniform additives, though? You know, when you know, there's so many things in your locker that's hanging there for the different types of conditions you could possibly play in. Did you add anything, subtract anything, or did you have to change anything during the game?
Yeah, I always try to bundle up because I have a problem staying warm. I did all the layers and everything, but I can't wear sleeves.
Right.
So I don't like wearing sleeves when I carry the ball. It adds another layer of kind of, it's a little bit slippery. But I knew with that kind of freezing rain, it wasn't quite snow, it wasn't quite rain, it couldn't really make up its mind. I knew it was going to be cold once you got wet. So you just tried to stay dry, extra towels, man, coats every time. And Team Ed and his crew, our equipment guys, they do a good job. So it was fun out there. We didn't let the cold bother us too much. We had a good evening.
And Tony Medlin always take care of you that way. So there were a couple of homecoming themes here. One for you personally. There was one from the team that we heard from in the locker room afterwards, the homecoming Brett Favre thing. But let's get to your personal story, because you grew up a Packers fan growing up here?
I can neither confirm nor deny on live Bears.
We will hold the audience at bay here.
Well, let's just put it this way. My whole family's from Wisconsin.
Okay.
My mom's side of the family. Yeah, and she moved out to Montana, and that's where I was born and raised and all that. But they still are all in Wisconsin. And it's funny, I don't know if you noticed, Tom, our buses and all that stuff, there's a transportation company called Lamer's Bus Line, and that's my family. So we have some big ties. So they took us to and from the game and all that. And so it was special for me to play at Lambeau Field. My grandpa had passed a couple years ago, and that was his dream, was to see me play at Lambeau. And so it meant a lot to me with all the history involved, and for me to be able to be out there, but to wear the C on my helmet, to be out there on at Lambeau Field in front of my family, like I said, on Brett Favre night and all that stuff. Like, it was just a really cool evening for me.
You know, there's a lot of time to think about it, because when you leave the locker room door, down the stairs, down the tunnel, through this whole pass, then you open up onto the field. It was different because when I played at Lambeau, it was a concourse around the stadium. You literally walked out of the locker room door through the crowd down a cement ramp that if you weren't falling because of your cleats, there was people throwing stuff on you. Nowadays, they constructed this long walk, and there's got to be a lot going through your mind during that, you know, those 35 stairs and the, you know, almost 100 yards of walking through a tunnel.
Yeah, I mean, I think I was a little extra juiced. I mean, on game day, I don't really take too much to get going. I'm already pretty amped, and once the whistle blows, I kind of go into this different mode. But definitely on Thursday night on Thanksgiving, and like you said, walking out there, I had some different emotions going on. I mean, I just, you know, not to get too crazy, but I talked to my grandpa a lot that night, and it was cool to be a part of. And like I said, it's been a while since I've gone out and contributed on offense and made plays that helped us win. And so to do that on that stage, I couldn't have written it much better. And I think, I was just proud and honored to be a part of it.
So how many family members were in attendance, and what were they wearing?
Yeah, they were. It was tough. It was tough sledding for some of them, but they were all wearing the blue and orange. That's for sure.
So they had heard the abuse then too.
Did they try
to explain themselves away? No, really, we're kind of forced to wear this because that number 80 guy down there.
I think it's one of those things where they're probably still cheeseheads most of the time, but when we line up against them, they're definitely big Bears fans. So they were in the house, and they're all lamers too. They're all that side of the family. They're all a little crazy, but they were blue and orange and rooting loud.
We've heard of espionage before. I'm certainly hoping that the buses ran okay for you guys to get from your hotel.
I was double checking everything. I knew every bus driver. I know my uncle. I'll give him a call if you don't get us there safe and sound. Yeah, I was making sure they were on point, but. Yeah, it was a good ride into the stadium.
On a night like that, do you wear a shield on your helmet, or does the rain get into your eyes when you stare up waiting to catch a punt?
I think I saw I never wear a shield, but I think I saw guys actually taking it off because the water beads up on it quite a bit. But that was definitely something that I had to battle with back there catching punts and that sort of thing. It wasn't too bad when you were facing straight out and looking and scanning the field and all that. But once you looked up out of your helmet, and then it just all that rain and ice was just coming into your eyes, so you did one of those just squinty looking through, just guessing almost. But it was the conditions, like I said, they were tough, but they were just you know it's not like we had an advantage or they had an advantage. It was part of the ambiance of Lambeau Field.
With all these equipment advances, the day will come when the NFL has windshield wipers for all those shielded helmets. Time for our first break here on Bears All Access with Mark Mariani. When we come back, so much to talk about concerning that game last Thursday, the Thanksgiving victory over the arch-rival Green Bay Packers. We'll get to a whole lot of that and more from the PNC studio at Halas Hall. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, covering the world of Bears football on and off the field with Anthony Adams and Lauren Screeden, brought to you by Jimmy John's, and airing every Sunday night at 11:05 on Fox 32 Chicago, or go to chicagobears.com/insidethebears this week. On the show, Alshon Jeffrey and Zach Miller take fans out to dinner. Matt Forte talks about being nominated for the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award, and Pat O'Donnell squeezes in with Anthony Adams in Big Guys in Compact Cars. Pedal down, not as thick, but certainly tall enough. Welcome back to Bears All Access from the PNC studio at Halas Hall with our friends from Castrol. Castrol, the official motor oil of the NFL, joining us here tonight along with Tom Thayer and Bears wide receiver Mark Mariani. I'm Chris Bowden filling in. So how much of a challenge was it early on in that game when those first five possessions, it's scuffling and scuffling to get something going, and I think you had one first down on those first five possessions. How much of a challenge was it to stay mentally on track and not get too frustrated?
Yeah, I think that was tough, but you go in there with a game plan, and obviously the defense has their game plan, and it always takes a little bit to feel each other out and to see what kind of adjustments are being made on both sides of the ball. But I think once we settled down a little bit and kind of adjusted and made some, I guess, formational and personnel adjustments that we went with the rest of the day. And then we started moving a little bit. We felt confident. But what I thought was cool is we just never wavered. We came off on the sideline. There was no frustration. There was nobody was getting down. Everybody was still just confident and excited. And I think that just shows that we're progressing and we're an offense that, we're going to be tough to beat when we're moving the ball.
Chris, for you and I, from what we've seen in the past out of the Bears in the last couple of years, if we saw them go through that same, you know, three and out scenario five times, the game was over and they just got worse. You know, that's one of the great things about your football team. Whether it's the message that originates from John Fox, defensively with Vic Fangio, and offense through Adam Gase, you guys don't lose the faith in each other or what your game plan is that you've been practicing in all week. And then we see it in the outcome of the game and your resiliency over the four-quarter effort.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, that's came up every week. You're going to have to play 60 minutes. And against us, you know, we've kind of been late in the game. We've had a few that we've gone that have gone our way and a few that haven't. But we grind it out, and we have confidence in guys that are going to step up and make plays. And I think you hit it right on the head. It starts with Coach Fox and then through Coach Gase on offense. And, you know, they're the ones that are sitting there going, it's all right. No worries, you know, we're gonna mix it up. They're doing this and that, and we're gonna combat it with this. And I think you saw that on Thursday night, and I think our offense came out second, third, fourth quarters and really did what we wanted to do.
You did have an opportunity to kind of close things out. You got the ball back twice in the late going in the fourth quarter. Weren't able to string some first downs together there. And I guess at that point, when you're holding such a slim lead over that quarterback on the other side, as well as the defense was playing, you know, it probably caused a little bit of anxiety that we couldn't keep things going and burn out this clock, if not, you know, add on the scoreboard.
Yeah, 4 minute is what we call it, you know, when you get the ball and got a chance to have a chance to close a team out. And it's an area that we work on every week. And, you know, I think that's come up a couple times where we haven't been successful at it this year. And, you know, it's something we need to improve on. And we spend time each week practicing it and going through. But definitely when you see number 12 take the field over there and you didn't get enough time off the clock or whatever it may be, you're just you know, hoping the defense holds on. But I think as a whole, we know we got to do a better job in the 4 minute situation. And like I said, we're figuring it out. What we're doing wrong, and we're going to try to fix it.
Do you enjoy watching the game? Do you watch it when the defense is on the field? And if so, did you feel disrespected when the first series on fourth and two at midfield, they went for it going, hey, it's no big deal. It's early in the game. We'll get this possession back. I kind of, as an ex-Bear and a Bears fan, I kind of felt insulted a little bit by those guys doing that.
Yeah, just to answer your first question, I actually get caught sometimes when we're making offensive adjustments, you know, watching the game a little too much, so I got to make sure I stay on point. But I felt the exact same way. When they went for it, you know, I think it was in their own territory even. When they did that, I did feel a little bit like, all right, here we go. You know, that's not a slap in the face, but it's pretty much saying something that their D can stop us. Oh, and you know, I think that – that type of attitude and us knowing that it helped us out. It helped us kind of go, hey, look, you know, this is how arrogant they're going to be. So let's stick it to them. And like you said, after a while, we got some things going. It's got some things working for us.
Well, that continued a theme that we didn't hear about until after the game. I mentioned homecoming for you personally, but then there was this whole subject matter of them scheduling you on quote unquote homecoming the night that they're honoring Brett Favre at halftime. I mean, how loud was that conversation during the course of the short week leading up to that, to add to kind of the chip on the shoulder?
Yeah, I don't think that was a mistake. I don't think that was, you know, just a coincidence. So we knew it. We knew what we were in for. We knew that we were the chosen ones to come in there and have on their big night. And you feel a little disrespected. I don't think Coach Fox didn't harp on it too much. He stays a lot more focused and all that. But he made it known what the situation was, and we knew as players, and it came up, you know, in our group discussions through the week. And you know, we're a competitive group, man. We don't like it when anybody calls us out or disrespects us. So, like I said, they're going to get 60 out of us, and that's what they got.
But you don't get to live on that subject because it's been 6 days now that when you played Green Bay, and you got to forget about it, and you can't carry it into the next week. You can't think the enthusiasm of the end of that game is going to bring you through the San Francisco game. It's about a completely different opponent. So, you know, how does that message get across on Wednesday just to, hey, enough's enough, now let's look forward?
Yeah, I mean, I think we took the weekend to celebrate it. Coach Fox gave us Friday off.
Did you do anything fun?
I had my family in town, so got to spend some real time. You
That's
know,
fun.
You know, during the season, you never get real time. It's always like a couple hours here, dinner here, but you're always scrambling. So we got some real time to hang out and relax after Thanksgiving. So that was good, and I enjoyed that. So that I did do something fun, but. but no, I think once we came in on Monday, watched the film, broke it down, we moved on. I mean, this is the most we've talked about it since, and I think our total focus is on the 49ers, and you know, our total focus is going to be on our next opponent going forward. And you're right, all that momentum, all that, you know, stuff we felt on Thursday night doesn't do anything for us this week, because I guarantee, you know, the 49ers coming in here, they don't really care. They don't care at all what we fought through or the weather or anything. So it'll be a completely different battle, different set of challenges this week, and we'll be looking forward to
now,
it.
Now, before we totally put it to bed, though, there was a locker room clip that hit on social media. I don't know if it was Christian Jones's Instagram account. It's only a 7 or 8 second clip, but it kind of gave a picture, a peek inside what that locker room was like afterwards. And your head coach is right in the middle of it. Here's a 60-year-old man, you know, getting tossed around by a bunch of guys, but absolutely loving it. And then, from what I understand, Jay presented John with the game ball. What was that like afterwards?
Yeah, that was cool. Those are moments that you don't forget and you hold on to, as Tom could probably tell you better than me. But those are just special times where you're with your group of guys. Like you said, the media hadn't come in yet. It's just the crew. Just the guys that battled, and that was really cool. It kind of, you know, Josh Bellamy got his music going, and everyone, you know, got excited. But we were honestly excuse me, we were just, it was jubilation. We fought hard. It came down to the last second. No one gave us a shot all week. Like I said, we felt disrespected. We haven't won there in so long. All these things, you keep hearing them. They keep adding up. And so to go in there and do what we did on national television, we were just excited, and I think that overflowed into the locker room a little bit. And as you got to see a little snippet, it was pretty exciting.
You know, Gail Sayers and Dick Butkus, thank you in buckets of rain, because the night their jerseys were retired here, it rained so hard that it was ridiculous, and Green Bay came in and beat the Bears. I don't know if you guys know a little bit about that history, but it was the ultimate payback for everybody who's ever put a Bears hat on and walked around their neighborhood.
And I know the fans here from Castrol Motor Oil, the official motor oil of the NFL, enjoyed every minute of those 60 minutes, even though probably white-knuckling it a little bit here and there. Time for another break here on Bears All Access. We'll return with more with Mark Mariani, Tom Thayer here on 670 The Score after this timeout. Back from the PNC studio at Halas Hall, welcome into Bears All Access with our friends from Castrol, the official motor oil of the NFL. Our live studio audience here as we're joined by 85 Bear Tom Thayer and Bears returner and receiver Mark Mariani. Tune into the Bears Coaches Show, brought to you by McDonald's with Jeff Joniak and the Bears coaching staff, Monday nights at 6:30 on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. As we try to park the victory that is almost a week old, again, you want to revel in it because it is the Packers, because, you know, it gets you matching last year's win total so far, too. We do have to also go through our Sports Authority Player of the Week. Vote on that, time to decide on the Player of the Week, brought to you by Sports Authority. Plenty of candidates to choose from. Tracy Porter had a huge game.
Fourth quarter Porter.
Yep. Jay was, I'm sure, just a steady hand throughout, coming up with a touchdown pass and kind of guiding that offense along. We mentioned Zach Miller with Martellus Bennett being out. He was able to, I think, play every snap for the first time in his career, if I recall that correctly. And we also mentioned the rookie safety, Adrian Amos. Speaking of playing a lot of snaps, this guy has been there from the jump, I believe, led the team in tackles.
Yeah, you go back and you look at game one of the season where Adrian Amos started that game with no knowledge of the NFL at all.
Against that same quarterback,
right,
too.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. Then you look at him and you go back and you watch the tape and you look at his understanding, how he's picking up the defense, how he's understanding NFL offenses and stuff. I mean, Adrian came up and made some big-time tackles. I mean, he's a physical guy. For being a young guy, I mean, he is a physical player out there.
He's such a stud. I mean, once he got on the field in training camp, you could see it. You could see it in him. But, you know, I didn't think anybody thought he was going to do what he's been doing. And he's just been killing it every week. And he's been kind of a foundation in that defense that's been, you know, kind of nicked up and had a lot of moving parts. Mm-hmm. I think he's just got a bright future and so many more plays to be made.
So right. So Tracy Porter got the bite out of the turkey leg with Michelle Tafoya
and
afterwards.
Jay.
And Jay got a bite of it. But I'm hearing a lot of Adrian love. Should we give Adrian?
Yeah, I'd like to go with Adrian.
Yeah.
I love to see the rookies, and you watch them, you know, the first time they've had a chance to play two opponents twice in 1 year. So you get an indication how you're picking up the system, how you're understanding little movements of the offense before the ball's ever snapped, and he is really progressing along well.
So with all due respect to what many contributors in that game, we'll make Adrian Amos our Sports Authority Player of the Week. We could have nominated Mariani, too. Three catches. I think you had, nine career receptions? You're probably not looking at your bubblegum card too much, but nine career receptions going into that game. And with the team a little shorthanded and guys who specialize in that situation, Martellus being out, gratifying was it for, satisfying, I should say, was it for you to make those three big catches all on third down, all resulting in first downs? I know the first two came on that first touchdown drive.
Yeah, it was huge for me. Like you said, I haven't had too much time on the offensive side of the ball in my career, and this year has been kind of my biggest role there. But to be able to make plays that make a difference and to help change the outcome was exciting for me. And I'm just, you know, like I always tell you, I prepare every week like I'm the starter, because when my number's called and guys, you know, are counting on me to make those plays, I want to be able to do that. And that's just kind of how I've molded my whole career, and that's where my mindset is.
You know, two different systems in 2 years. What's more difficult, terminology or timing, for a wide receiver? The terminology is so difficult. I mean, you really have to have a complete understanding to know exactly where to be, but then to know exactly where you got to be, you got to have the timing. So what is more difficult?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're both brutally tough in different aspects, but I think the terminology sometimes is part of the hardest thing, just because guys come in and you learn it and you get it hammered in one way. You know, the same route is called X,
right?
And then then they try to convince you that blue is red, and it's a different thing, and it's a different language, but you know, I think what's starting to happen with our offense is, and the more we have these live snaps, we're just starting to gel a lot better as a group, and that's where the timing comes in. You know, now the terminology has basically been hammered in, and we all have it, but you still need time together. You know, the offensive line and quarterbacks and receivers and all that. And the more live snaps you get, the better. And I just think that's a huge reason why our offense can, you know, adjust on the run and make these changes and then go out there and perform on Sundays. And Jay's, you know, having such a great year is because, you know, the more we get together, Coach Gase has us, you know, oiled up and ready to go. And it's just been fun to watch all the guys, you know, just have more and more success as the year goes on.
Well, you were able to contribute on offense, get more snaps on offense. This comes in the wake of them deciding to take a look at Deontay Thompson taking care of kickoff returns. You're still on that punt return team. How, you know, in general terms, how does that conversation go when coaches say, okay, well, we're going to just take a look at somebody else in this situation?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a competitor. I always want the ball in my hands, and I always want to be out there making plays. But it's understandable. And we as a return group, need a little spark as a group in general. And so he's a stud, man. Deontay's been doing it for a lot of years, and he has the speed and all the characteristics to go out there and do that. So when they came to me and told me that they were thinking about that, you know, it's not – you know, not what I wanted to hear, but right. It's also, you know, I'm excited for our group, and he made a big play out there on Thursday night as well to get us sparked up, and so it was good. I think we all contributed.
You know, one thing about Jay Cutler at this stage of this offense, your big third down catch in the Zach Miller drive, and I did a TV thing on it for this weekend, is his production after pressure is what amazes me about Jay this year. Because last year you may see him drop his sight or get one hand on the football or lose his sight downfield. You were the backside receiver on that first down catch you made on third down, and he came back to you after a guy got a little pressure on him. That's impressive when you guys are all getting to know a system well enough that if you're the third receiver, you're still in it.
He's been doing that all year, and he's been you know, blown my mind every week with a play like that. I mean, I can think of multiple off the top of my head, but as a receiver, you know, you run your route and you break and you turn, and you see the ball and you catch it and you run and you do all those things. You don't ever see him, you know, getting draped by a D lineman, right? and evading a blitzer that, you know, was untouched and all this stuff. And then he's finding Zach Miller. I mean, the touchdown he threw to Zach was the same way. He had a guy draped all over him, and then that third down. And so you watch the film and you're all sitting there and it's like, damn,
And Zach
great,
was
great play, buddy. Like I had no idea that even happened, and he's just he's been finding that. He's been extending plays all year, and I just I think he's a stud.
Zach was the farthest receiver away from the point where he caught the football, and that just shows you something about Jay, is that he's willing to take that time and patiently make sure he's looking at all receivers, and then you have the profit of it, like a touchdown catch.
Yeah, I mean, and we do those, you know, we practice it as, you know, scramble drills is what it's called, and Jay just continues to do it each and every week. He evades and gets out of the pocket and makes throws down the field that, you know, you thought the play was over, and I don't think he gets a ton of credit for his athleticism and his mobility, but like I said, he's been kind of jump-starting us in that way all year long.
And one thing we really noticed in that game on Thursday night, it seems like he was getting guys pawing at him, at his feet,
right,
and yanking on his arm. And I think in previous seasons, you wouldn't have seen that ball security that you do here. I think it was really evident in that game.
Right, every highlight, he's got two hands on the ball moving side to side and away from wherever the biggest threat is coming from.
Time for us to step aside for another break. We are from live from the PNC studio at Halas Hall with our friends from Castrol, the official motor oil of the NFL. We're back with more on 670 The Score with Mark Mariani on Bears All Access. Welcome back to Bears All Access. A reminder that this Sunday's game is brought to you by Dr. Pepper, the official soft drink of the Chicago Bears. The first 40,000 fans to enter Soldier Field will receive a Bears Dr. Pepper Tube Dana. Is that what this is? A Tube Dana. I need to be filled in on Tube Danas. Tube Danas? We'll
Google it. Like a scarf?
We'll Google it. Oh, is that what it is? Okay. All right. Now I know. The things you learn. Dr. Pepper, always one of a kind. Again, a Bears Dr. Pepper Tube Dana. I may be the only one in the dark on that. Welcome back to Bears All Access from the PNC studio at Halas Hall. Chris Bowden filling in for Zach Zabin with Tom Thayer and Mark Mariani. We mentioned Zach Miller's name last segment. You and him are kind of on similar career arcs from a standpoint of, you know, you had a couple years under your belt, 2010, 2011, like he did in Jacksonville. I think he had 3 years. But then 12 and 13, injury struggles, out of the league. You came back last year. He was on IR all season long. But are you kind of do you feel they're kind of brothers in perseverance?
Yeah, we've had that conversation, and it's funny because we played against each other in Jacksonville.
Oh yeah, the South.
With the Titans, and so it has been a crazy path for both of us, and you get that sometimes. It's a little bit of a roller coaster. But Zach's one of the best, and that's kind of one of the reasons that I've been such a big, you know, Zach Miller fan this year with all that's gone on with him and his success, is just because there's not a nicer guy around. He works his butt off every day. He's the type of guy you want in your locker room, and for him to go out there and tear it up like he's been doing has just been awesome to see.
I think both of you guys are important in the locker room, though, because there's a lot that message needs to be told by someone who's lived through it to someone who's going through it. And so whether it's Willie Young, Lamar Houston, or whomever's been able to recover over the last year, we're talking about on the radio. He gets asked about it all the time, and I think it is a message that positively has to come across in the locker room.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, in this business industry, injuries happen, you know, and they happen every day. They happen at every position, and, you know, it's tough times sometimes when you're in that training room and you're not out there on the field with your guys and you're you know, on the shelf and you're doing all these things to get back, and it takes a long time. You know, a good example is Kevin White. You know, he was amped up, ready to go, and now he's had to work to get back to where he's at. But it is, you know, it can be done. And I definitely had some guys that I leaned on in my dark days. And so it's just one of those things where a little bit of adversity never hurt anybody. And it's one of the reasons I'm sitting in this chair right now.
Well, you lead me right into Kevin White, because today was the first day, if you hadn't heard, that the Bears first round draft pick got out on the field to join his teammates, to join his fellow wide receivers in some individual drills and running routes for the first time since having that shin surgery back in August. You're playing with a metal rod still in your leg, right, from your injury?
Yep, that's correct.
And how much have you tried to support him? How much has he leaned on you about the process of coming back from that? And were you on a similar timetable? His was August. He's trying to get back into it in December. Was that a similar timetable when you started running and doing some football-related drills?
My injury was a little bit different than his. They caught his, which was very fortunate.
Yours was a complete snap.
Yeah, my leg broke and came out of the skin and said hello and was out there.
Anyone eating out there?
Wanted to get a couple plays in, out on the field. No, it was a little different, but it was the same in the fact that the bone for me healed and all that stuff. But then the rehab is just excruciating sometimes when you're learning to not walk, but you got to turn your muscles back on, and you got to pick up marbles and all these little things that just nag at you. But he's been doing great, man. And we've talked a lot through his process, and I'll tell you what, he's been a great teammate. He's been in the meeting rooms and taking the mental reps since day one. And I know I've said it before, but I think the future is so bright for him. He is going to be a stud, and I think, when he gets the chance to show that, he's going to prove that he was the right guy at number one draft pick this last year.
Do you set off metal detectors?
No, I don't.
You don't.
I don't know what it is.
Always a smart guy here.
They got
no. I was serious about that. I was wondering if you have something that big inserted in your leg. Nowadays maybe it would set it off.
Oh, to clarify, the Bears are in a 21-day window. They're about a week into it, where they have to decide whether. And they could decide before the 21-day window is over whether to put him on season-ending IR or elevate him to the active roster, so there's still some time to go through this. He was telling us it's not so much the rod that he feels, it's the screws that are in his leg. How does that work?
There's two screws on top and two on the bottom. Mm-hmm. My doctor described it to me as it's like carpentry with bones. So there's it's crazy what they can do now. But I have two of mine removed, and it sounds like he might be wanting to get his out too, which it's totally up to the person and whatever. I don't think it's going to affect much. But like I said, those bones are going to heal up great for him. And he's working hard, man. He looked good out there today. And I think he's going to keep getting better.
Do you remember the first football move or first hit you took after the injury that said, okay, I'm all right, I can do this?
I did. That was a big moment. And it was, it obviously came in a preseason game in a live rep. I needed that. I needed to get hit. I needed to get hit on that leg, just to prove to myself and to show myself that, all right, we're fine. Nothing's going to happen. This thing is solid. But there is a mental aspect to that, that a mental bridge that I had to cross before I could, go further in it. And you want to push and you want to push and you want to push, but you never know how it's going to react under pressure or under live bullets or whatever it may be. And so to get hit on it, and I got hit right on it, right on where it broke, and got up. Didn't really have any pain or anything, and I said, all right, here we go, and that was just a step in the process that I needed to check off the list.
And you already started talking about him too, but your impressions of him, you walk through the locker room and you see him, it's like, who's that new linebacker? Because this guy is off the charts huge, and just his presence whenever it happens, whether it's this season or next year, what he can do for that offense along with some of the other weapons here is something to really be excited about.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, we got to see it in OTAs and when he was full go and a little bit leading into training camp. But he's everything that he's marketed to be. He's got all the speed and explosiveness and the hands and all that. I think he was 7th overall pick, right. I'm not mistaken. Yeah. He's got so much potential. And I'm just a huge fan of him as well. I think that they're going to get it out of him. And like I said, he's a good guy to root for as a Chicago Bears fan, because he's going to be here making plays for a while.
Mike Rowe is a good wide receiver coach. I think he's got a great attitude with every receiver because they have a little bit different of a personality. But I think the drills that he has you guys repetitively doing, the way he wants you guys to stay in is here to know what the plays are and their assignments. I think it's a really good combination for Kevin White to have a guy like Mike Rowe.
Yeah, Coach Rowe is great. He's one of the best coaches I've ever been around at any position. And I think that, with our group, it's reflecting that. We got a bunch of guys making plays and doing things to contribute. And he's out there and he's grinding. And even during walkthrough this past week, he had to come over and slow it down a little bit because he was going and we were going, and he's very, very passionate about us, and he just wants the best for us. And as a player, it's very awesome to have a guy like that to work with every day. And I think, you know, you respond to it and you want to play hard and do it right for him.
We're going to take another burn another time out here on Bears All Access from the PNC studio at Halas Hall. We'll hear from our friends from Castrol, the official motor oil of the NFL, back after this timeout on 670 The Score. Spend game day with the Chicago Bears Network, starting with Bears Game Day Live, brought to you by Advocate Healthcare. That's at 10:30 Sunday morning on Fox 32 Chicago. And after the game, Bears Game Night Live with Tom Thayer and Jeff Joniak. Brought to you by CDW at 10:35 after the final word on Fox 32 Chicago. Early mornings, late nights for Tom Thayer on game days, as he always shows up there in the studio. Back inside the PNC studio at Halas Hall with Mark Mariani on Bears All Access. Let's talk go into that wide receiver room a little bit more and talk about some of the different guys in there, the personalities. Now, is Alshon as quiet in the wide receiver room? We heard him mic'd up during the game, and he was doing a whole lot of yapping during the game. Is he a quiet guy in the wide receiver room?
He's a little bit reserved, but he's definitely not. I think he's probably more quiet to the media and to the outsiders, but he's not like a quiet, standoffish guy at all. No, he's fun, and he jokes around and has a good time as well.
And unfortunately, Eddie Royal has been sidelined for a while with his knee injury. He seems like more of a more subdued guy in there, and just, you know, maybe pointing some things out, or if you ever question being in the league, is that accurate too?
Well, Eddie for me has been huge for my career this year in general, and for my whole career, because I've learned a lot from him. He's a great pro. His notes are like so detailed, and everything he does, we sit next to each other in meetings, and I, you know, I bounce things off him. You know, we talk about the guys we're going against, because we play the same position, you know, for the most part. And so he's been great to have around. You know, he's the oldest guy in the room, and so he's been leading us through this. And he's more frustrated than anyone that he can't be out there. But he's working his tail off, and hopefully we'll see him back out there real soon.
Since you've been in the NFL, has it been the most active wide receiver room you've ever been in? Instead of everybody's got to contribute at some way, shape, or form during the season, from the beginning of the year when Alshon got hurt to Eddie Royal, to, you know, Marquise, Josh Bellamy, yourself, all these guys running different, you know, different combinations. It had to be an active room.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it's one of those things that you always say, the next man up, and everyone's going to contribute, always be ready. But it never really comes to fruition like that.
Right.
But this year, we've needed every soldier, man. We've needed everybody in there doing their part and being out there and all through the week. And then on Sundays, too, it shows up. And so it's been really fun to be a part of. And this group, we got some characters, and
who falls under the character list? Is it like a Marquise or a Josh or
I think the combination. I think the combination of those two combined with Cam and all the, you know, Cam's the young guy,
and then
myself. We have a pretty good time in there. Minus, you know, we have Groh who keeps us going, and Coach Groh who keeps us going in the right direction. But other than that, I think we got a solid group of guys who work extremely hard and try to get better at a craft and our preparation, but we also like to play and like to mess around hard too. It's a really fun room to be a part of.
With Coach Groh, will he yell at you more for missing a pass or missing a block? Because I've seen some of the best blocking by the wide receivers throughout this time here, throughout his time with the Bears and from all you guys.
I don't even think it's always perfection with him, whether it's blocking, line alignments, drops, you know, route depths, whatever it is, you know, he's on you. He's not letting anything slide. It's one of those things where you kind of might screw a play up or be misaligned or miss a route or whatever, and then you're like, dang, I got to go watch this freaking film. And Coach Groh's going to be on my butt about that one, and you just know it right away, and you almost got to, like, just throw the film guy a little, you know, slide him a little extra to
That's
just delete it from the database.
By the time you're on the plane, you're going to hear something about it.
No, Coach Groh is on it no matter what it is. He keeps us going, but it's a fun room.
Now, Tom mentioned a moment ago the attrition that the wide receiver group has been through. Not the only position on this team so far, but now does every receiver in that room have to know the X routes, the Y routes, the Z routes? Everyone has to have that down to perfection, even if you're not going to be used a lot in a particular position.
I definitely think so, and that's a huge part of this offense in general, is there's so many moving pieces. Sometimes the schemes are the same, sometimes the routes are the same, but Coach Gase is moving guys around from left to right and exchanging this with that. and all these different formations. So you got to know the concepts in and out. And so you can move from one position to the other. Coach Gase tries to put you in situations that, you know, are your strong suits. But I think as when it comes down to the X, the Z, the F, all those things, I think everybody pretty much has to know everything that's going on, or else you're going to kind of get left behind.
We're here with Mark Mariani of the Bears. Time for our final timeout here on Bears All Access. We'll be back with some final thoughts when we return on 670 The Score. Clock winding down on this edition of Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Before we have to say goodbye, we want to thank all the folks who are with us in person, our in-studio audience from Castrol, the official motor oil of the NFL. Guys, thanks for coming out. Hope you enjoyed it. We enjoyed having you here. Chris Bowden filling in for Zach Zabin with Tom Thayer and Mark Mariani. Bears getting ready for the San Francisco 49ers at Soldier Field. And what's it like? You're taking your third swing at 500 here. Kind of swung and missed the first couple of times. I don't know if that's a point of emphasis this week. It's just on the opponent that's right in front of you. But after going through those experiences the last time, do you think that helps you going into Sunday's game?
Yeah, I think the main focus is just 1-0 this week. We got to go out there, and like we were saying earlier, we got to put kind of the past behind us, the big Turkey Day game, and whatever else is in front of us, we got to block out as well. And we just got to focus on the 49ers. And they're going to be a tough challenge this weekend at Soldier Field. And we know what we're up against. We know that we're back and somewhat in the race, and we just got to keep winning. And that's the mindset. We got to come out and just take care of business this week.
What kind of influence has this coaching staff, the Foxes, and in your instances, the Gases, had on just kind of recharging this locker room, this organization, and putting this team in the position it is right now, even though I'm sure a lot of fans are thinking, well, we could have been 6-7. How much influence has John Fox and Adam Gase had?
Well, for me, I think things were different the moment they got, you know, got to Halas Hall. And it's been a constant grind, constant work, trying to get better every day. And I think with what they bring is experience. You know, Coach Fox has been there. He knows what it takes to get there. And like we were saying, that we just don't flinch. You know, we come out and go three and out a couple times, but we don't flinch. We just keep fighting 60 minutes. We come out, you know, our first few games of the year, and we struggled a little bit, and we stumbled to open, you know, out of the gates. But here we are. It's December football, and we're back in the race, and we're relevant in December, as Coach Fox would put it. And we're right, you know, where we need to be. And we just, like I said, the message is go 1-0. Win this week, and then next game will be even more important.
You know, that has been the message since training camp. Get better the next practice than you were the last practice. And even though the first three games of the year went the way they did, there was never looking back to why it would happen. It's always about getting more prepared the next week, and then it started paying off, and I think the payoff is continuing.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, Coach Fox has been saying it from the beginning. We will get there. This organization will get there. It's just a matter of time, and you know, once you're 0-3 and kind of in the dumps a little bit, to hear him say that message, you know, we are going in the right place. We are taking this where we need to go. You kind of go, okay, now here we're sitting here in December, like I said, and we just we got the task at hand, but we're up for it.
Got about a minute left from what you've seen on film of the San Francisco 49ers. A lot of different parts than there have been the last couple of years. Their defensive coordinator is on your side this time, but what are you seeing? Obviously, there's a couple of really good linebackers there.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I think the first thing is you just got to throw out the records. You know, they're I think 3-8, mm-hmm. But that doesn't matter. They're flying around, and there's some familiarity with the defense because it's sort of like what we got, what we've got here. So we feel good about our game plan, but there's definitely guys out there flying around making plays. Their special teams is stacked, you know, from top to bottom. Got a great returner, and so we have our work cut out for us. We know that. And we're just gearing up for the challenge.
Well, good luck on this Sunday.
And they're better with Blaine Gabbert than they were with Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, that's who would have said that a couple of years ago? Mark, thanks for doing this. We appreciate it. More third down catches this Sunday, okay?
I got you, man. No
our
problem.
First or second down catches are worthy also.
Mark Mariani, the Bears, alongside Tom Thayer. I'm Chris Bowden. Thanks again to the folks from Castrol for joining us on this edition of Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on 670 The Score. We'll see you next Wednesday.